I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Every day, weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock, you're going to get something a little different here. Today will be no exception, as every day is no exception. This is a different view on world events and politics, maddening world we're living in right now. This is for 2 hours a day, the stories behind the stories, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party political propaganda. And I will throw in theater as we embark on the third televised day of these ridiculous impeachment hearings. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinkers out there. Expecting to have Ron Morris from the Mississippi Libertarian Party coming here today. We just going to shoot around some stuff. I'm going to have to check with Ron. I don't know if he can act, but we may do our first skit here on the Mike Madison Show. I'm always in search of some kind of interesting, entertaining segments, and I think I found one, so we'll see if Ron will play along with me here. I have to coach him through. I don't know what his acting skills are like, but we'll work on that when he comes in. I think I touched on this story last week. We're going to get into some of the news. There's really some very important things going on in the world. The impeachment trial's not one of them. Now, that's pretty hard to believe, isn't it? But it's true. An impeachment trial will come to no end. The Democrats should just go ahead and vote. They don't care about the facts. They don't care. All this investigation, all these witnesses, it's not going to change anybody's mind on either side of this. The Democrats should just go ahead and vote. They should vote to impeach Donald Trump, pass it along to the Senate. The Senate will refuse to prosecute him, and we can get on with our lives. They could do this in a day. House could vote in the morning, Senate could dismiss it in the afternoon, and we could go about our lives. But no, that's not how political theater works. See, they've got to get the public agitated. They've got to do the spectacle. They've got to try to prove a point somehow. So the actual important things that are going on in the world are what you'll find here every day for 2 hours. Actually, something Vladimir Putin talked about the other day that nobody in the United States will see. Nobody will hear anything about it. But you will if you tune into the show, and that's why you're here. But I touched on this. This is a story that I saw yesterday again. I think it may be a kind of a rehash of a story that I talked about last week. After 3 years of fake news, fake polls, and fake outrage, Americans trying to keep up with the constant barrage of political drama are, quote-unquote, numb and disoriented. And people are tuning out, according to the New York Times. In upstate New York, Travis Trudell got an alert on his phone Wednesday morning telling him the impeachment hearings had started. He turned on Disney Plus instead. In Wisconsin, Jerry Corrigan never considered watching. She spent the day giving a math lesson to third graders. In Idaho, Russell Memory worked a busy day as a computer programmer and figured he'd catch up in a few weeks when the hearings were over. Quote, it's harder now. They want to grab you with those headlines, said Jerry Corrigan of Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Trump did this, Trump did that. You have to go in and really research, and I don't think a lot of people do that. And boy, they're right. I will say to the first who's that, Travis Trudell, if you're getting a notification on your phone that the impeachment hearings are starting, you need to turn off your notifications from whatever service is telling you that. Anyway, people are tuning out politics because, and that may be the healthiest thing there. Now, I don't want you to tune out of the show. We cover a lot more than the ridiculous stuff you see. But what's interesting to me is we're living in this time of what people call fake news. And I've talked about this before. What I don't think people really understand is it's all fake. This is all fake. Now, I have my suspicions on the impeachment trial in the first place. I think it's a money. It's a cash grab. It's political theater. It means absolutely nothing. Nobody in Washington has any conviction on one side or the other. Trump's raising massive amounts of money on this. As far as fundraising goes, impeachment's the best thing to have happened to the Trump fundraising machine. I may talk about that some with Ron Morris today. As I've said before, if you were sending small $25, $50, $100 donations to major party candidates, you were just... you're throwing a penny into a well, essentially, is what you're doing. Nobody cares. God, that money could be used so much better. I may even give you an example of that. We have got fake news from fake journalists. I think everybody's kind of come to that conclusion, most everybody that can think about things logically. But what they don't pay attention to the fact we got fake money. It's printed out of thin air. There is nothing backing our money. The Federal Reserve is, as we speak, today, injecting new printed fake money into the system. It's boosting the stock market. Have you seen those stock market records? The economy, for some reason, is growing at less than 1%, but the stock market is setting all-time highs. That's a warning sign, a big, fat, flashing red sign. We've got a fake stock market. Now, I know, for Trump supporters, this is one of the things you point to, how great the economy is doing. Look at the stock market hitting all-time highs, and we've got Donald Trump out there taking credit for that. I hate to tell you, this fake printed money is flowing into this fake manipulated stock market. Now, I'm not some paranoid guy. Look, if you own stocks, it's real money if you sell. If you sell now at record highs, you might have really cashed in. You might have actually made some money, and you're going to get money backed by nothing. But you can use it, but you understand what I'm saying. We've got fake statistics coming from the government, coming from politicians. We've got fake politicians and fake legislation. None of us really know why they're actually doing what they're doing. As I've said, the biggest example I love to point to is Obamacare. It had nothing to do with insuring people that didn't have insurance. It had to do with doubling the profits of the health insurers, one of the biggest group of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. You got a fake war on terror, a fake war on drugs, a fake war on poverty, and a fake war on man-made climate change using fake science. Then you go home, you eat fake food, and you get online and you talk to fake friends. This is where we have landed ourselves as a society. There is so much surface garbage here, and this show, hopefully, is kind of getting you backstage to see actually what's going on behind the scenery that they put up for your entertainment. There were a couple of stories yesterday on NBC. One of them was really a heartbreaking story. And I don't know if I should be suspicious of any of this, but it was a story about these child minors. Did anybody see this thing? These kids that crawl down in these holes to mine mica. This was in Madagascar. It's about $1 a day. I got to tell you, one of the things I thought, as bad as some of the things are in this country, and particularly for people who struggle financially in this country, boy, you need to watch that show and realize the opportunities here, the ability to get out of that stuff. You've got, these were literally 6, 7, 10-year-old kids that were crawling down in a hole and working for hours and hours a day. Now, they said the days were 10-hour days and they make $1 a day. That wouldn't really be surprising. But it was pretty sad. But I saw a story last night. You want to talk about these small donations going to major party candidates like Donald Trump or anybody else that's signed off on by the establishment. Have you ever seen a time where you just, you know, and the thing with Donald Trump, too, is even if you support him, I don't know, you can vote for him. You can take to social media and push his stuff. How much money does Donald Trump need to raise? How much money does Donald Trump need to spend? He didn't spend very much last time. And this was really without the help of the RNC, particularly on the front end of the primary season. What is Donald Trump? He has got a microphone in his face all day long, every day. He's got millions of Twitter followers, and God knows he's not afraid to use it. He's on the news. Every move that he makes, every policy he rolls out is front page. Why does an incumbent need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to run a campaign in the first place? But if you want to talk about these little contributions that people send as a way to support their candidate, same thing to you Democrats out there. The fact that you're sending money into Adam Schiff's war chest, as I said the other day, Devin Nunes and Adam Schiff are raising more money than any other two members of Congress right now because of their prominence on these committees. Now, both of these had the stamp of approval of the major parties. They're not suffering for lack of money. And yet, Americans seem to think that sending $25, $50 is somehow showing support. Save that $25, $50. Spend it on a loved one. Do something nice for somebody. Go support a local business. Or I saw this story about a firefighter yesterday. I don't even know where this was. Saved two of his fellow firefighters after he went back into a house to try to find a baby that he didn't know had already been removed from the house. He goes back into a burning house to find a baby, a stranger. This was not his baby. It was not his grandchild, not related to him. He walks into a burning house to find a stranger's baby for them, saves a couple of his fellow firefighters. I think something collapsed on top of him at the time, and he ends up losing his life. There was a tremendous funeral for him. I just saw this on the news last night. Now, see, that's a public servant. I talked yesterday about how the pet peeve I have of these politicians who pat themselves on the back and accept awards where they're told, well, your selfless service, you contributed 30 years of service to the U.S. Congress, or a lifelong diplomat sacrificing to serve their country. And I read you the statistics yesterday. They're making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars with 5 weeks of vacations that are provided for them with free airfare. They're getting $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per child in education allowances. They're getting bonuses if they're in any level of danger or hardship. If the amenities aren't as nice as the United States, they get like a 35% of base pay bonus. This firefighter, that's a public servant. You want to spend $25 or $50 wisely? Maybe help out the family of this firefighter who went back into a building to save a child that he didn't even know. Instead of propping up one of these major two-party politicians. And again, I understand. You want to support your side. You want to support your candidate. They've got all the money they need. You know what these things do in Washington, D.C. majority of the time? They raise money. They call their richy rich buddies. They call the companies that they pass legislation for, and they raise hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. They don't need your $25. They like to have you invested with them. They think that probably, by allowing you to do these little contributions, it makes you feel more like a part of the team. As I said the other day, this is not on Trump. It's just typical campaign tactics. The Republican Party sent out something that said something like, Donald Trump wants a list on his desk of all the people who support him. And I thought, wow, you must really think that Republican donors are dumb. Does anybody out there believe that Donald Trump is going to go through a list? This is a national fundraising effort, okay? What, is Donald Trump going to take part of his day out to thumb through 5,000 names? Oh, look at that, Fred Johnson in Jackson, Tennessee. Look at that, he gave me $50. Way to go, Fred. Oh, my gosh. Thelma Carlisle up in Ames, Iowa, gave me $25. Hey, note, make sure we send Thelma. What do you think? Donald Trump wants to see a list of people on his desk who support him. And, you know, I hate it when they think we're so stupid. And then I see the story about this firefighter, somebody who actually sacrifices something. The guy didn't get paid a ton of money. Now, if he's in some big city, I got to tell you, in New York City, he can make some pretty decent money as a firefighter, plus all the benefits and your pensions and all of this stuff. Working overtime, some of these guys make some pretty good money. But by and large, firefighters don't get into firefighting because it's going to make them rich. Hopefully, they can attain some level of middle-class success. And they got a lot of downtime, I got to tell you. Hey, look, you just sit around. But when you need them, when you need a firefighter, when you got a baby trapped in a building, now apparently they'd gotten this baby out, but he didn't know that. This guy sacrificed his life, saved a couple of his buddies, and he dies in the process. That is a public servant. That is who we should shower with $25 and $50 checks. Not some politician who ends up with a war chest of hundreds of millions of dollars to run a bunch of campaign ads, which are dubious, to say the least, in the facts that they present to us. And this is across the spectrum, each party, every politician. This firefighter is a public servant. I wish I had his name or knew if there's a crowdfunding site for him. But boy, I got to tell you, Americans, you should be deploying your money to these kind of people, not the political class. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Figured I better back up what I'm talking about. This firefighter, by actually knowing his name, where he was, Massachusetts fire lieutenant who died after helping two colleagues escape a burning home, was dedicated to his family and his profession and took younger firefighters under his wing. Speakers at his funeral mass said Monday. Hundreds of members of the Worcester Fire Department, as well as family and friends, filled St. John's Catholic Church. Stunning pictures of this funeral. The bagpipes, just a sea of bagpipes. Probably an incredibly moving thing. Hundreds of firefighters out there. Menard, 39, was a great dad and husband in every way, who never missed his three children's games or recitals. He gave everybody their own time and let them each know how important they were. Menard died Wednesday after he and his crew went into a city home to look for a baby possibly trapped on the third floor. He helped two fellow firefighters escape but was unable to get out in time himself. That's a civil servant, in my opinion. It's not as flashy, not as exciting as some of our political royalty class that we get to see them rumble on the network TV now. We're told they're so important to our lives. This Chris Menard guy, he's a firefighter. That wasn't my baby. Now, I'm not trying to be really snotty about this. I know everybody admires somebody who sacrifices like this guy did. He didn't do it for a lot of money. He's firefighters. I don't know. He's a fire lieutenant. He's probably worked his way up the ranks. Probably made a decent living. Probably had a middle-class life. He had three kids. They don't have a dad anymore. But no. Luckily, the Adam Schiff campaign is rolling in the dough. Small individual donors wanting to support his impeachment trial against Donald Trump. Small donors are reaching into their pockets and sending money to Adam Schiff, to Devin Nunes, to the Trump campaign, to the Republican Party, to the Democratic Party. Everybody's reaching into their pockets to send their money in as support of their side. It ends up being like 1%, 2% of all the money they raise because they get so much money from corporate donors. Look, Sheldon Adelson is still on the Republican side. He's given them like $131 million in the last two campaign cycles. He gave $25 million to Donald Trump. Sheldon Adelson is the Republican George Soros, and he is an Israel firster. He's a Jewish guy, which is fine, absolutely fine. No problems with that, but he's controlling. He's probably pretty happy today. As Mike Pompeo goes out and says, well, we're changing the policy. We think it's okay for Israel to build in the West Bank. Sheldon Adelson gets what he wants. Sheldon Adelson's the one that wanted John Bolton to be our national security advisor. He got what he wanted there. I mean, $131 million contributed to the Republican Party and the Trump campaign. You pretty much get what you want. I don't know how much FedEx gave to the Congress critters who passed the tax reform bill that had FedEx net out a 0% federal tax rate this last year. And look, I'm all for, you know, I say starve the beast. I don't want FedEx paying any taxes because they passed those taxes on to us. But did you pay zero? At least corporate taxes are constitutional, in my opinion. The fact that they reach into our pockets as individual citizens, they, you know, what taxation is, it's actually a penalty for success. That's right. The more you make, the more we take. actually penalizes any level of success. What a great idea. I'm so sickened by the system that we have allowed to be there. Now, sometimes the government does something right. And I always want to make sure I point that out so people understand I'm being objective here, that I'm not just all anti-government, all this stuff, because the news broke. Did you hear this? Finally, some action has been taken and arrests have been made in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Oh, man, I was so pumped to see this. Arrests were finally made. This is what we've all been waiting for, right? They're gonna dig up the deep state and all these elitist pedophiles in this depraved cult that they all belong in. They're finally getting to the bottom of the Epstein thing and making arrests. I was so excited, and then I saw two correctional officers who were responsible for guarding Jeffrey Epstein when he killed himself in his New York jail cell had been arrested. It's almost funny. Almost funny. The two Federal Bureau of Prisons employees were taken into custody early Tuesday, sources told the New York Times. They are expected to be charged in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan later on Tuesday over their alleged failure to check on the millionaire pedophile in his cell. The officers on Epstein's unit at the federal jail are suspected of failing to check on him every half hour as required and of fabricating log entries to claim they had. There you go. There's your big arrests. That's right. Now, these guys probably deserve it. I don't know. Were they bribed to do this? Quite possibly. Will they get to tell their tale in court? Do you think we're going to be hearing from these two guys, or is there a possibility that they are both despondent? Have the Clintons already tweeted out they are so sorry to hear of the suicide of the two correctional officers who were responsible for guarding Jeffrey Epstein? Have they already tweeted that out, or are they still holding that as a draft tweet ready to send? It is almost funny. As an observer of this stuff, where everybody thinks they're making such a difference, if my side just gets more control, all of the millionaires and billionaires that traveled in the Jeffrey Epstein circles, that were trafficking little girls as young as the age of 8, Ghislaine Maxwell, an obvious agent of Mossad, the Israeli CIA, she's nowhere to be found. People have got the meme out there. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I'd like to start the meme. Where is Ghislaine Maxwell? Nobody seems to really be interested in that. We can't really track down the woman who is actually responsible for procuring the young girls to put them into the pedophile ring. But by golly gee willikers, we got these two Joe Blow schmoes at the jail. Now, matter of fact, I'm fine with them paying a price. We all kind of assume they maybe got a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Don't look, don't, you know, do whatever. These guys probably responsible for some stuff. But they're little teeny tiny cogs. You even notice how the little periphery players always kind of pay the price on this stuff? It's kind of like, when the stories come out and it is confirmed that things like the CIA help, they side with the Sinaloa cartel, allow drugs to be brought in here during Iran-Contra. They were actually letting drugs flow into this country. And so what was the response from us? Well, we arrested everybody that used those drugs that the government allowed to come into the country. Because people like these correctional officers, people like you and me, we're completely expendable. This is the Untouchables at the top. I will not hold my breath. That Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, when I come back, I've got to do this. Prince Andrew. Did you see this train wreck of Prince Andrew doing his interview with the BBC on the Epstein stuff? I've got several clips from it. I don't know I've seen a worse, more ill-advised interview with a public figure, which also shows you this. These people are not smart. You understand? They're not necessarily clever people. They're just moneyed people who are able to protect themselves with this money. Prince Andrew, boy, did he make a huge mistake going on. I have never seen a more pompous, pathetic, mealy-mouthed explanation of a relationship with anybody they want to distance themselves from worse than Prince Andrew. I'm going to play these clips when we come back. The Epstein stuff, maybe it actually won't go away, but boy, when the only arrests in this thing as of right now are two correctional officers assigned to the suicide watch of Jeffrey Epstein, I got to tell you, this is par for the course. I'm so sick of watching these little tiny players always pay the price while the big protected class goes on unabated. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. I don't know if you saw the news for those of us in Mississippi, kind of more relevant to us here, that Bernie Ebers has asked to have his sentence reduced. Apparently he is legally blind now and failing health, and he wants to spend his last days with his family. I'm sure there may be people out there listening to me right now who invested in WorldCom stock, lost a great deal of money, maybe mad at Bernie's, Bernie Ebers. It's kind of hard to say Bernie without saying Sanders at the end of it now. It's just, I've been conditioned to endless headlines. But anyway, you know, I do have some sympathy for Bernie Ebers. Now, what he did was wrong. I think he got caught up in greed and avarice and didn't know how to control what was happening and figured he could just give one more acquisition and certainly he could fix everything. You know, you just get the sense the thing just really spun out of control. Got up there, loved being the darling of Wall Street, and just really just went off the rails. Now, I'm not really taking a stance on whether or not Ebers should be released early. Have we gotten our pound of flesh from him? What I am just amazed by, and he must sit in that prison cell at some point just thinking, why me? Why am I the one held accountable? I don't know if there are any other white-collar criminals still in jail right now. Are there? I think that Dennis Kozlowski from Tyco, you know, there was a little rash of some white-collar criminals. Richard Scrushy was taken down from Health South. He's long been out. Was Bernie Sanders, Bernie Ebers, see, I'm telling you, it just flows now. Was Bernie Ebers, was he really the worst of the worst? Now, he got 25 years and is still sitting in jail. But to watch the massive levels of criminality in our society right now, particularly at the political level, I got to tell you, I could do an entire show on people that I believe should be in prison. And this would gore a lot of people on the right, too. Dick Cheney should be held accountable for war crimes. As should George W. Bush. Ooh, tough to hear, isn't it? Tough to hear. Let me just, what do you think? What would we say about Vladimir Putin if he invaded and toppled Iraq and Afghanistan based on just nothing? Russia wasn't attacked. What if hundreds of thousands of people died in Iraq? As they did under Bill Clinton, would we not think that Russia was a bad player for starving out Iraq and killing 500,000 children and then just coming on national news and going, yeah, well, we think it's worth it. Wouldn't we think that Vladimir Putin was a bad dude? I could give you just lists and lists and lists. Who's the highest in politics we've had seen jailed? Is it Anthony Weiner? Anthony Weiner, because he just couldn't stop going public with his perversions. They finally said, oh, come on, dude, we've covered for you for as long as we can. your corruption, Huma's corruption with Hillary. We've ignored all that, but you got to quit doing the stuff in public. And he just couldn't stop it, so they jailed him for a couple of years. Bernie Ebers must just be thinking, of all the crimes, and I'm about to get into this Prince Andrew stuff. Bernie Ebers must watch Prince Andrew, who was on the receiving end of trafficked young girls. He's a pedophile. If you don't know anything about the royal family and their embracing of Jimmy Savile, you should check that out too. This is not new to the royal family. Jimmy Savile was just an abhorrent sex trafficking pedophile deviant. Close friend of the royal family. And Bernie Ebers must just think, how am I? How am I the one? Yeah, what I did is wrong. How long has he been in there? 10 years now? He's going to die in jail. How many people die in jail? While we watch this criminality at the upper end of the elites, they pay no price. As a matter of fact, they're rewarded. They're flying around in private jets, making their media appearances, writing books. Bernie Ebers, he must just think he is in the twilight zone at this point. Whether you want to see him pay the price because you lost money or not. You know, the thing is not that we should be releasing Bernie Ebers or any of these other people. It's just that the application of the legal system is so warped. Here is one of the biggest train wrecks I've ever seen in public. This is Prince Andrew going out there to defend his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And this is stunning, stunning in how bad it was.
Quite often, if I was in the United States and doing things, and if he wasn't there, he would say, well, why don't you come and use my houses? So I said, that's very kind. Thank you very much indeed. But it would be a considerable stretch to say that he was a very, very close friend. But he had the most extraordinary ability to bring...
Now listen to this. This is what I think is important in this particular clip here. This is Jeffrey Epstein. He is, his whole life, I mean, the guy wasn't, he was not a financier. There's no evidence of that. Nobody knows how he got his money. Everybody just suspects. He was running, I mean, it was his full-time job, was running a child sex trafficking ring of little girls down to the age of 8 years old. And listen to Prince Andrew explain to you why he liked hanging out with him.
Extraordinary people together. And that's the bit that I remember, is going to the dinner parties where you would meet academics, politicians, people from the United Nations. I mean, it was a cosmopolitan group of what I would describe as U.S. Eminence.
It's a whole class of pedophiles at the very top. Listen to this. This is Prince Andrew saying that the good thing about hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein was that he brought together some of the hoi polloi of the United States. I mean, the real movers and shakers. And he wasn't doing that because he was raising money for charity. I mean, he wasn't a financier. He had no business interest to bring these people together. That is Prince Andrew telling you that the top of this system, the elites that we all look up to, are all involved in this stuff. Some of the most intriguing people. The elite, the eminence of the U.S. society was at Jeffrey Epstein get-togethers. I'm going to continue this when we come back with a break. We've got Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party's in studio with us. We're going to take a listen. And this is, again, why I say, how funny is it that you got Prince Andrew saying, oh, yeah, Epstein's surrounded by the real elites in the country. A really interesting crowd. I mean, this is the preeminent people in the United States surrounding Jeffrey Epstein. He brought them all together. Yeah, he brought them together for sex trafficking. And what have we got? We've got two correctional officers who are responsible for guarding Jeffrey Epstein have just been arrested. That's what we get. I mean, I don't know how much more in your face this stuff needs to get. I'll be right back. All night with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we're back. I'm going to play some more of these clips. Prince Andrew went on his, he was going to go ahead and take care of this darn association with Jeffrey Epstein. So he did an interview with the BBC that was one of the biggest train wrecks, one of the biggest PR disasters I have ever seen in the history of lies. I got with us, though. We'll go ahead and get you on. Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party, in studio with us. Ron, how are you?
Doing wonderful.
Good. Yeah, I'm going to play these clips. You said you didn't see the interview.
I didn't.
Yeah, it was really something to behold, the pompousness of this. And, you know, if, as I said, I mean, that last clip was basically saying, yeah, Epstein was just what was so interesting about him. The reason I like to be there is because he was with the top of the heap in America.
Yeah, what a dumpster fire of an answer. I mean, that's just
Yet the only people arrested so far are two prison guards.
Right.
They're going down really quick, lickety split. Boy, the Justice Department's really on top of that one, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah. But none of the people who attended these things and actually used and abused young girls.
Oh, there will be no arrest in that.
No, I believe there will be none. Here is another one. Talking about, speaking of somebody that should be getting some attention from law enforcement, and they just can't seem to get around to her.
Guest as well. In 2000, Epstein was a guest at Windsor Castle and at Sandringham. He was brought right into the heart of the royal family at your invitation.
But certainly at my invitation, not at the royal family's invitation. But remember,
you know, the Queen Mom is ticked off at him and said, you get out there and fix this.
That it was his girlfriend that was the key element in this. He was the, as it were, plus one to some extent in that aspect.
Am I right in thinking you threw a birthday party for Epstein's girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, at Sandringham?
No, it was a shooting weekend.
A shooting weekend.
Just a straightforward shooting weekend.
No, you think they were hunting small children?
Yes, that's exactly what they were.
I mean, seriously, at this point. Yeah. Well, what? Yeah.
But during these times that he was a guest at Windsor Castle at Sandringham, the shooting weekend, we now know that he was and had been procuring young girls for sex trafficking.
We now know that. At the time, there was no indication to me or anybody else that that was what he was doing.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, right. We got you there.
That one stinks.
Yeah. Here we go. I've got several of these clips. Let's see. Oh, here is the one. Here is, okay, so they're going to ask him about, after he was convicted, we saw you walking in the park with the dude. You were still hanging out with him. So he is going to explain to you why he came to the United States and was walking in the park in New York City with Jeffrey Epstein. Listen to this. And just think, as a dude, think if this resonates with you.
Why? Why were you staying with a convicted sex offender?
Right. I have always, ever since this has happened, and since this has become, as it were, public knowledge that I was there, I've questioned myself as to why did I...
Well, I'm glad he's questioning himself, because authorities in the United States don't seem to want to question him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, at least he's questioning himself.
Yes.
Go, what was I doing, and was it the right thing to do? Now, I went there with the sole purpose of saying to him that because he had been convicted, it was inappropriate for us to be seen together. And I had a number of people counsel me in both directions, either to go and see him or not to go and see him. And I took the judgment call that because this was serious, and I felt that doing it over the telephone was the chicken's way of doing it. I had to go and see him and talk to him. And I went to see him, and I was doing a number of other things in New York at the time. And we had an opportunity to go for a walk in the park. And that was the conversation, coincidentally, that was photographed, which was when I said to him, I said, look, because of what has happened, I don't think it is appropriate that we should remain in contact. And by mutual agreement during that walk in the park, we decided that we would part company, and I left, I think it was the next day. And to this day, I never had any contact with him from that day forward.
He had to go do this in person because, I mean, isn't your experience as a man? I mean, I've had a lot of guy friends, sure. Some of them I've had either a falling out with, or right. We just decided not to be, you know, didn't hang out anymore.
Right.
Don't you always go to them and break up with them in person?
Yeah, that's strange. That is so strange. I mean,
his excuse is he flew to New York to break up with Jeffrey Epstein.
Breaking our friendship.
Breaking up their friendship. Yeah. A call from England to Epstein and going, hey, dude, you're some kind of twisted dude, man. Yeah. I got to tell you. Not taking his calls anymore.
Yeah, be done.
And here's his explanation as to why. This is the really funny one here, as to why he did this and why. But see, you and I can't understand going to break up with a dude
right.
like that, but he'll explain it to us here.
At the end of the day, with the benefit of all the hindsight that one could have, it was definitely the wrong thing to do. But at the time, I felt it was the honorable and right thing to do. And I admit fully that my judgment was probably colored by my tendency to be too honorable, but that's just the way it is.
He's just too honorable.
It's way too honorable.
He had to break up with this dude in person. Man. I mean, I think this fully explains it to everybody. I'm satisfied.
Yeah, that's so strange.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and this is a funny one. Let's see if we got time for this one. We'll play this real quick.
So, I have no recollection of
this is talking about meeting the young girl he's pictured
being in
with.
The company or the presence.
The girl who are
so
accused
you're
of
absolutely
rape.
Sure that you're at home on the 10th of March.
Yeah.
She was very specific about that night. Mm. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have bath, possibly...
There's a slight problem with the sweating because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat.
That I'm a pedophile.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't sweat at the time, and that was... Oh, actually, yes... I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War when I was shot at.
Now, what's funny about that, or not funny, ha-ha, but funny like he's just a lying sack of human excrement,
yes.
There's pictures that have emerged of him during that time out at nightclubs or covered in sweat.
Yeah.
Absolutely, in just a flop sweat.
Right.
And the guy certainly should be sweating during this interview.
And, like, why is that even, like, the issue, like,
this is his smoking gun that he never met this woman.
Oh, yeah,
he
doesn't I don't sweat.
Now, some people have also said it possibly is the same reason Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama don't sweat. They are all lizard people.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We'll be right back.
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining us. I got in studio with me today, as we have every couple of weeks, Ron Morris, president of the Mississippi Libertarian Party. Are you still president?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
As soon as you fall from that office, I don't really want to see you anymore. You'll be of no value to me. I appreciate you taking time out today. Was it tough to pull yourself away from the impeachment hearings?
It was. I mean, I was really glued to the, you know, the CNN and NBC.
A lot of breaking news.
I mean, I just had to watch every minute of it.
Yeah, MSNBC, C-SPAN, Fox.
I got to make sure to get every aspect of
it. Right, get the real flavor. Right. And then particularly when the breaks come and you get the experts on each one of those sections.
Because I really respect their opinion on it.
Yeah, they're always so right. I would just be a Fox says he didn't do it. MSNBC said he did it all and worse. I ran across this that I thought was kind of funny. And here's where I think libertarians, at least myself, it's very funny. I've kind of been able to stake out a show based on this premise, which is I can report on a mainstream news story, but I see something completely different in it than everybody else does.
Right.
You know, because everything's through red or blue lenses and everything. So there was this story that was out a couple of days, or yesterday, I guess. Another poll released Monday is more bad news for President Donald Trump, as ABC indicated that 70% of Americans think his behavior towards Ukraine was wrong. According to the ABC Ipsos poll, which randomly surveyed 506 adults, 51% of Americans want him removed from office altogether. The results of this poll had a margin of error of 4.8 points. The poll also indicates that 65% of Republicans think that the president committed no wrongdoing on the call. So this is kind of your typical stuff. And the way that this question is phrased is to address the issue of impeachment, which is Donald Trump, you know, wanted an investigation into Biden, and so he withheld, you know, military aid, whatever. You know, that's how this question is phrased. I absolutely believe that Trump did something wrong on that call, but it's different from what everybody else thinks. I don't think a president should be ever on the phone giving away billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars to another country.
Yeah, cha-ching, cha-ching. No, no, quit giving all money away. Like,
yeah, why is that not the wrong thing?
And everybody glosses over that.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, yeah, no, he was just giving money, just giving military aid.
So you take money from U.S. taxpayers who wake up in the morning to go to work, and against their will, you rip money out of their paychecks every 2 weeks, twice a month, every week, whatever it is. And then you get on the phone with a foreign leader. And this is not, so anybody thinks I'm bashing Trump. No, this is just the way America works. It happens under every president. That any human being would get on the phone and go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take $1 billion of that money we took from U.S. taxpayers. Right. I'm going to give it to this guy.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Ukraine? I mean, I haven't.
No.
I have no interest in Ukraine. Like,
I certainly don't care what they're, well, we're fighting corruption there, Ron.
Yeah.
We don't see. Luckily, we have corruption stamped out in the United States.
Yeah, we're squeaky clean here.
Right, so we don't have any issues. So we're you know, the same way that we're spreading democracy from the Middle East, we're fighting corruption in other countries too.
Wow.
Yeah, so I agree. Donald Trump did something wrong on that call, but it wasn't any quid pro quo nonsense garbage they're talking about. It's the fact that he was handing out taxpayer dollars the same way Obama did, and Bush did, and Clinton did, and Bush did, and Reagan did, and Carter did, and ad infinitum.
Yeah, it's just why do they even have that money? That's what's wrong.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Oh wow.
Yep. I want to play this clip. I've got to read this. This was speaking of, you know, kind of foreign stuff, and I didn't get to it in the first hour. Vladimir Putin. Well, let me do this first. I thought this was interesting. This morning it was announced that Mike Pompeo, the whale, I had the whale and the walrus, and then Bolton left, and now I can't really.
Yeah,
the walrus left and the whale by himself. It's not as explanatory. So Mike Pompous made a big announcement today that we're changing our tact on, our opinion of
Israel's
settlements in the Middle East. This certainly is going to inflame situations. Most people who listen to this show, listen to conservative radio, think that everything that the Palestinians do is terrorism, and everything the Israelis do is sent from God.
Right.
I don't have time to battle that today.
Right.
I think it's absolutely wrong.
But how do we have that power to say, oh, yeah, you're we bless you and your.
Yeah, well, we gave conquest. Israel the Golan Heights, which right. I thought, yeah, Trump.
How do you do that? Like,
it's the same way you just take oil. Yeah, I mean, you just, if you are the emperor of the world, and this happens under, again, this is not just Trump, but Trump's really gone after it here. But, you know, every American president thinks they're the emperor of the world, and we just dictate who gets what, who gets sanctioned, who gets to trade with who, whatever. Yeah, Trump just took the Golan Heights. He just took it away from Syria and gave it to Israel not long ago.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like the political Oprah, you know, you get war. Right. You get Golan Heights.
You get settlements. Well, the Palestinians are not happy with this, but this is what I found was kind of interesting, because this story came completely unrelated, and I think if people could ever take two, of course, most people will never see the story I'm about to reference. You want to talk about quid pro quos. It's very interesting. Here's how the U.S. relationship with Israel works. And it works this way with several different countries that are on the receiving end of American taxpayer largesse against our will. We give Israel maybe more foreign aid than any other country. Is that true?
I believe that's correct.
And the last package was $37 billion.
Yeah, I mean, just $37.
Just giving it to them.
Yeah, there you
go. So what happens is we give them billions of dollars a year. And again, this is not just Israel. Don't anybody accuse me of anything. And I dated a Jewish girl for 4 years. We give them money, and then the Jewish lobby funnels money back into Congress's coffers, parties. Congress is completely captured by AIPAC and other Jewish lobbying groups.
They just like the money.
Right. So the Congress authorizes aid, and the president gives aid to Israel. Israel's lobbying arm sends money back to these politicians. Mm-hmm. They get billions. They return millions.
Right.
Yeah, so they give millions. They get billions. So this just goes around and around and around. Now, we've given the Golan Heights to Israel, which was Syrian land, which is interesting. I didn't know we could do that. Matter of fact,
you get to have that.
I'm going to stick my head out the window and see what kind of car you drive, Ron. I might want that car. I'm a powerful radio show host. Don't argue with me. In the bond market, here, this is interesting. Nobody will ever pay attention to this. You're only going to hear this here. There's been a lot of outflows of some countries selling our bonds. Mm-hmm. For people that don't understand, this means that they're not loaning us money.
Right.
They're actually dumping some of the money that they've loaned us before. They're getting paid back for it. They don't want to loan us any more money. Net selling was at $34 billion. The countries that were selling a lot were Japan. Now, they had bought a lot recently, but they dumped $28.9 billion, its biggest monthly cut in Treasury reserves ever. China also has been not loaning us money, getting rid of this debt that we owed them.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, they're not happy with us, so they're dumping debt. Guess who the big buyer, meaning the big lender of money to the U.S. has been during 2019 by far?
Israel. Yeah, no doubt.
So Israel is buying our bonds, loaning us money.
Right.
So this government can spend as much as they want to, borrow as much as they want to spend, but you got to have somebody loan you the money.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes the Fed just prints it up, but they can't print up enough, or not yet.
So sometimes working on it.
Yeah, you need to borrow money from other countries. Yeah. Israel has stepped up as the biggest buyer of bonds, propping up the bond market, keeping interest rates low,
right,
and they seem to be well rewarded. Isn't that interesting?
It's really weird how that works out, huh?
Yeah, that's very, very, very convenient. Now, again, nobody will talk about that, but I wanted to play this clip, and I'm going to have to play this in the background. This is Vladimir Putin. Drives me crazy. The guy speaks very good English, but he won't do it in public.
Yeah.
It's probably a good move with his country. You know, like, yeah. You make the Americans translate. Don't pander to them.
Yes.
But he says something here that is really everybody should know about, and we should be concerned about with this, with the way our foreign policy is run, mm-hmm. not just under Trump, but under Obama and Bush and everything else, where we are these emperors of the world, where we just dictate everything, and where we've got sanctions on everybody. So I'm going to put him in the background so you can hear the Russian, because that will make this clip, that will make my reading of this more authentic and exciting. But I'll read the subtitles here. So this is Vladimir Putin does these kind of press conferences where he just sits in a relaxing chair on a stage, and they just ask him a bunch of questions.
Right.
I wish we did that more here.
Yeah, right.
He's also Now, I think he's probably a thug. He's an authoritarian. Oh, yeah. He's on top of a huge government in Russia. They're not communist anymore, but they're certainly not, you know.
The free market.
Yeah, it's not Thomas Jefferson.
You're right.
It's not Jeffersonian democracy over there. But his style, I think, is so much more effective than Donald Trump's in that he just comes across like, hey, this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we do. Anyway, here's something that he said the other day on this stage. The dollar enjoyed great trust around the world. It was almost the only universal currency in the world. For some reason, the U.S. began to use dollar settlements as a tool for a political struggle, imposing restrictions on the use of the dollars. They began to bite the hand that feeds them. They'll collapse soon. Many countries in the world began turning away from using the dollar as a reserve currency. They restrict Iran and its currency. See, I knew he was going to outpace me on some of this somewhere. Let me get back to it. They impose restrictions on Russia and other countries. This undermines confidence in the dollar. Isn't it clear? They're destroying the dollar with their own hands.
Hey, man, he hit that one, dude.
Yeah. The average American has no idea that what Congress is doing, what Trump administration's doing with the sanctions,
yeah,
they are destroying the U.S. dollar. And every time they put sanctions on a country, that country looks for ways to do trade in some other currency.
Right.
And it's starting to come together, starting to build up some steam.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's going to be soon that this is just going to crumble.
Yeah. And this is a huge story. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a big story that Vladimir Putin, one of the superpowers of the world, love him or hate him, is just laying this out and saying, I don't know when this happened, but the United States has decided to use the U.S. dollar as a weapon, and we're all looking for a way around it, and they will collapse soon.
Yeah. I mean, and they're trying. They're trying that petrodollar already.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of trade in Chinese yen. They're doing the BRICS countries. What is that? Brazil, Russia, India, China. Yes, something else. Anyway, these countries are all coming together and forming these new things. Russia just rolled out an exchange that's an alternative to SWIFT. They are working on these things. There are still hurdles. The U.S. dollar is still by far and away the most used currency in the world.
Right.
Has to be for most trade. But they are working on these things, and most Americans are watching the impeachment hearings.
Yeah,
they have no idea this is even going on.
They're blind to it. And, you know, I don't know why. They're like, that this is a huge story.
Yeah.
That we should be blasting on the airwaves. Like, we have to quit being the bullies around the world because we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah, they're killing it. And Putin says, they are doing it to themselves. And again, most Americans have no idea this is even going on, that this is happening while we watch impeachment, the rest of this stuff. When we come back, we're gonna do our first skit here on the Mike Madison Show. Ron, can you act?
I can.
Okay.
I'm in.
This is a very challenging role for you. we're gonna do something I ran across yesterday, and I think I'm gonna make this a regular segment. You may just be my full, like every time you come in, we may do an episode of this.
I'm in.
This is gonna be comment section theater. So I want everybody to tune in. I want you to see what has happened to the adults in the United States. Something has happened to us, and I'm going to highlight it through sarcasm and comedy. We'll do it when we come back. Stay with us. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party here. I thought this was a little funny before we get into our first theatrical production here. PG&E, you know, the company that has out in California, they've been accused of some of the fires,
right?
Particularly the big camp fire a very ironic name to me, but devastated a lot of homes. Anyway, they're being sued. It was a transformer or something right. like that, you know, that caused this fire. While lawyers tap dance in the background, thinking about the hundreds of thousands of billable hours they are racking up, things at PG&E, which is left dealing with billions worth of damaged good claims one at a time, are not as optimistic. Among the latest quote-unquote suspicious claims the company has come across while sifting through the dragnet of victims is one man who says the company's Camp Fire wildfire destroyed his 500-pound emerald worth $280 million. In addition to seeking a claim for the emerald, the man and his wife has submitted four duplicate claims for $4.5 million each, according to PG&E. PG&E is probing this and other, quote, exceptionally large monetary claims, which appear suspicious, unquote, according to Bloomberg.
Yeah,
The fire destroyed. Now I got. Would a fire destroy an emerald? I mean, fire's not going to destroy an emerald, is it?
Surely not. But I don't know.
500-pound emerald.
500-pound. Yeah. Okay.
$280 million.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising he didn't have that insured.
Yeah.
You think you might slap a little bit of insurance on something you own that worth $280 million? Anyway, I thought that was funny. All right, Ron. Here we go. I am constantly amazed at what's happened to our society.
Right.
And you're a good person to do this with me because you should be able to laugh because you and I are observers of the two-party system at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know.
Both.
Laughable. You just watch it and laugh.
And you and I were both former Kool-Aid-drinking Republicans, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, well, absolutely. I was neocon all the way.
Yeah, neocons.
I was a war hawk.
Me too. Yeah. A lot of arguments with our friends mm-hmm. at bars if they yeah. were liberal. And we've done that.
Bro, yeah.
But what? And you grow up a little bit, and you see it, and then you realize that neither one of the parties are fixing anything, and you look back on it. It tends to get a little absurd.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
This is called Comment Section Theater. This will be our first production of this. There was a story yesterday about William Barr, our current attorney general, who is proposing a pre-crime initiative, essentially. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to have time to get into the story today. It's about setting up a new group called HARPA, which is modeled on the DARPA thing. And it's about identifying mass shooters before right. shootings happen and the Orwellian nature of that. This was on a conservative website. And actually, to their credit, the conservatives were questioning this. Hey, right. this doesn't look good. You know, they're going to be trying to do some level of pre-crime.
Right.
Now, I have to explain that because this comment section really addresses nothing within the story. Somehow the commenters on this story go off in a totally different direction.
Right.
But I ran across this and I just couldn't resist. So Ron and I will be playing parts of two grown-ass adults in the United States having a conversation on what is, I guess technically you could call this antisocial media. I
right.
mean, it's a comment section under a story. But
right.
in public... And these are two strangers of, and I'm going to assume that they're over the age of 18, 21.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're probably middle-aged people, let's
probably,
be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what America has become. Okay, I will start off. Again, this was under a story about William Barr proposing a pre-crime thing, and it was an interesting story about it. So I don't know how this first commenter, who I will play, got started on this. This comment has nothing to do with the story, but it still went off to the races. Here we go. Liberalism is not knowing that corrupt Hillary and U.S.-hating Obama attempted a coup after having corrupted every federal agency, using them to not only undermine our republic and attempt to steal an election, which she still lost, but also to protect themselves from their illegal doings thanks to ignorant, low-info voters like yourself who empower them and the corruption they bring, exclamation point. 26 people as of 11/18 fired or forced to resign from the DOJ, FBI, all working to undermine justice in this country thanks to you.
Is everything in your life controlled by the Clintons and Obama?
Is everything in your life controlled by the Trumps?
No.
Well, can of corn. They are in charge like a crime family, dumb and corrupt.
Too bad Obamacare doesn't cover butt hurt, fruitcake?
Eh?
Low IQ, Soros stooge.
Fried baloney brain. Again, I want to say, if you just joined us, this is two adults. Actually, it's several adults. We're having to combine them into two. We've only got two actors in the studio here. These are adults on a comment section discussing an important issue in America. Okay. Yeah, I got my last one in with fried baloney brain. Okay, back to you.
says the person with TDS. But please go and look up the percentage of U.S. government workers in senior positions that were given their position under Obama's term. And check the same stats for under GWB. See the difference? Oh, wait, that would mean you'd have to deal with facts. Now go run away again.
Everything in your life is controlled by the opening and closing time of the local gay bathhouse. So what's your point?
And Colonel Sanders and the Queen of England.
Yeah, I didn't understand
that. I don't get that,
but that was a comment. Okay, so my turn. Let's see. Why is everything in your useless, miserable existence controlled by Soros, stupid monkey raper?
You should consider putting your energy into better use.
You should consider putting your comments to someone who cares.
Thanks for reading, bumpkin.
You should consider trying to read facts.
Thanks for trying to see I'm on one of your family members. Just makes me all mushy inside like your head.
And scene.
The end. Wow.
This does not exist in a vacuum.
No.
This is every comment section on both Republican and Democrat, liberal and conservative websites. This is the level of discourse in this country.
We are really moving toward idiocracy. Our IQ level is just going down the tubes.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes they make salient points, like calling somebody a stupid monkey raper.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that was.
I mean, I thought it especially cerebral.
Yeah.
Really start getting into some kind of deep thought when the guy says everything in your life is controlled by the opening and closing time of the local gay bathhouse.
Yeah, the
point made.
Right, yeah.
You know, you can't argue that.
Yeah.
You know, that's good, well-reasoned stuff.
I just don't understand, like, they're not even trying. You know, it's not even trying to attempt to articulate points. It's just,
you can't bang two brain cells together in this whole exchange between two adults.
Not at all. This is insane. Absolutely insane.
And this is not a mic. This will be an ongoing segment every time
I come in. I love it.
Yeah. I got to tell you, your acting could use a little help. So if it's 2 weeks till you come in again, you might see. I'm sure there's YouTube videos.
Yeah, I will prep myself better next time.
And you have to really, what you have to focus on too is the grammatical and the spelling errors. You have to really, you have to play those. Don't self-correct.
Yeah.
We were trying to be.
I did. I was like, what's
we're trying to document this, you know, accurately. So
this is a documentary right here, what we're doing.
Yes. This is today's political discourse, as I call it, comment section theater.
I mean, just ludicrous.
These people vote.
Yeah, these are.
And it's a wonder you and I don't think either one of these sides is really worth, you know, throwing our lot in with.
Yeah, what is going on, people?
I don't know. Crazy stuff. All right. Well, that was very successful. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that. I should have had my applause soundbite ready to go, but I do not. Anyway, we'll be right back talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. Stay with us.
If you are considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Anything interesting you're seeing in the world? I mean, you know, it's like ducking and weaving, trying to get around this impeachment stuff. There's really a lot of stuff going on. But right. Anything that's crossed your transom? You say you've kind of done a little bit of a news detox?
Yeah, I have. You know, I got off Facebook and, you know, really trying to, you know, live life more intentionally and, you know, actually read books, you know, listen to some podcasts. And,
yeah.
You know, not really just diving into the comment section theater as much.
Are you having FOMO? Do you have fear of missing out?
No, I don't. I actually really enjoy it. I mean, it's been quite a change. I've done it since Halloween, and so, you know, I'm not looking back.
Well, I got to tell you, after reading those comment sections, I mean, those people seem happy.
Yeah. I think they do get enjoyment. I hope they get something out of this.
They did not. There is no level of enjoyment. I learned this when I started studying mindfulness, almost said mindlessness, mindfulness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
This because I used to have a bad problem of hate-watching mm-hmm. things. I would watch things that I knew would make me angry, and
right.
I still kind of do it because I check in on some, you know, I'll look at little clips from MSNBC. I know
right.
it's going to make me angry. I'll listen to Rush Limbaugh. I know that's going to make me angry.
Right.
I listen to Sean Hannity. I just scratch my head as to why in the world anybody's listening to that guy. But I do that. These people on these comment boards are not, they're not happy human beings.
Oh, no, no. You have to be, you know, to engage on this type of level
yeah.
of communication, you're a miserable person.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't enjoy it. And I used to read a lot of these and just... It'd be sad because this is what the world's getting to.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it really does. If you're kind of awake and you realize, because, I mean, you know, no matter what side you're on in the impeachment stuff,
right.
that comment thread was ridiculous.
I mean,
it's
IQ of a shoe.
Yeah, it's just incoherent babbling, anger, name calling. It doesn't make any points. It doesn't change any minds.
No,
it actually hardens the beliefs of both of those. I mean, because I got to tell you, if I was on the receiving end of someone calling me a fried bologna head, that's it. It's
yeah.
on. It's
yeah.
on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
It's war at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, that's probably good. I'll tell you about a couple of interesting things that have been going on. I thought this was kind of fun. I love to talk about all the successes we have in the war on drugs, which is zero.
None.
A Miami professor who's an expert on drug trafficking and organized crime was charged by the U.S. with laundering money from Venezuela, skimming more than $250,000 for himself.
Truly an expert.
Yeah. He's getting paid off. I
yeah.
mean, you know, look, these guys go through the military and then they go right over to Lockheed Martin
right.
or Raytheon or anything. They cash out.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Why can't this guy have his exit plan, too? Bruce Bagley, 73, a professor of international studies at University of Miami, co-editor of the 2015 book Drug Trafficking, Organized Crime, and Violence in the Americas Today, as well as a contributor. But on Monday, prosecutors in Manhattan charged Bagley with laundering about $2.5 million into the U.S., money that foreign nationals embezzled and got from bribes and other corrupt schemes. He got about 10%.
Hmm.
Yeah, so there you go. Another person that was able to study the drug war tactics of laundering money
You're
and
right.
then put it into practice for himself. Now, speaking of laundering money and doing bad things with money, yesterday morning, Donald Trump, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin,
mm-hmm.
former Goldman Sachs guy,
yep.
and Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, got together for a little tete-a-tete.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wonder what that was all about.
Yeah, pumping that money.
Let's see what they said here. So the Federal Reserve went in there. What I wanted to get down to, I didn't do a good job of pulling this up. At the president's invitation, Chair Powell met with president and the Treasury Secretary, former Goldman Sachs, Monday morning at the White House to discuss the economy, growth, employment, and inflation. It said in here that one of the things that was discussed was that Donald Trump discussed with Jay Powell the need for negative interest rates in this country.
Oh, my gosh. Help us.
I mean.
Help us, please. I mean, no.
You know, what's crazy about this whole thing is, too, number one, why Americans wouldn't acknowledge how devastating this would be to savers. I mean, I just think of all the senior citizens out there who have saved their money their whole life. I mean,
right.
They kind of bucked to the American system, and they actually
did things right.
Yeah, they sacrificed a few things,
right.
saved a little bit of money. Now they need it in a conservative investment.
Right.
And this low interest rate environment has decimated their returns.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
killed them.
Killed all the money that they saved.
Yeah. And now, in order to suit a political agenda of supporting Donald Trump, many people just say, yeah, we should have negative interest rates.
Wow. I mean, do people understand what that means? I don't know if they understand that. I mean,
no, they don't. Trump says that because people in Europe have got negative interest rates, it's only fair that we have them here. What's funny is one of the only reasons that the United States can attract any capital right now, and anybody's loaning us any money, everybody
right.
knows we're technically insolvent, but because of the interest rates, negative interest rates in Europe, people are actually encouraged to send us money.
Right.
And we would destroy that advantage.
I don't get it. I don't get why you'd want to have negative interest rates at all.
It's never been done in the history of mankind.
Right.
This is a brand new experiment.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a couple of years, and European economy's falling apart. I mean, Germany's in recession right now, and that's what we want?
Do you want to model that? No, absolutely not. I mean, that just seems so dumb to me. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it.
It is actually negative interest rates. If you are the U.S. government and you want to borrow a lot of money, they're theoretically a good thing for you as the profligate spender. But I thought that Trump supporters, I thought that conservatives and Republicans were against endless spending.
Yeah, it's got to be railed. I mean, it's got to stop.
Yeah, but. And the only thing that will stop Congress from spending and the president from spending is going to be higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking advantage of this to saddle us with debt. Then, down the road, when interest rates spike up, which they will, always do.
They will come back.
The interest on our debt is going to swamp our entire economy and our future generations.
Oh, it will sink the American.
Can you imagine? You look at all the debt they've been taking on right now over the last 10 years under Obama and now Trump. Look at all the debt that's been added. I guess it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $15 trillion, $14 trillion. And they did this in a very low interest rate environment. Can you imagine how much they would borrow if interest rates were less than zero? Negative?
It would be insane. It would be astronomical.
There would be no constraint on them whatsoever. I mean, I think that they would sell to the American people that they're irresponsible to not borrow more money.
Right.
Because they're getting paid for it.
And I don't understand, we're going to have to pay the bill at some point.
We're going to default.
Yeah, just like, guys,
we're just going to print. Yeah. I think what's going to end up happening is that we are going to end up just printing a ton of money. So everybody's going to get their Social Security checks when it's all said and done, but that Social Security check is going to be worth nothing.
Right.
The same way the Zimbabwean dollar is. It's also interesting to me, too, kind of as an aside. We don't make $500 bills or $1,000 bills anymore, do we?
Mm-mm.
100's the highest denomination. Am I correct on that?
I think you can purchase a $1,000 bill.
You think you can get it?
It's not like regularly circulated.
And that's crazy. As the value of the dollars goes down, I mean, a penny is essentially worthless now. We should get rid of pennies.
Oh, it costs more to make it than it's actually worth.
Right. So we're hanging on to the pennies, but never before have we needed more big dollars.
Right.
Of course, they say the war on drugs is the reason for that. Hey, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with us?
I am, Mike. This is Robert. How are you?
Good, Robert. How are you?
Negative interest rates. So they want the banks to pay the government to take their money.
They want whoever.
That's basically what a negative rate would do would be the bank would pay you instead of charging you interest. They're paying you interest.
Yes, you would be able to. If you gave me negative interest rates, I could loan you $1,000, and you would pay me back $990 in 10 years when that money actually is worth less and everything. I mean, it is that insane. There is no sense to it whatsoever, except it's happening right in front of our faces.
This makes as much sense as Elizabeth Warren's tax plan.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
People are going to be taxed 100% of their income once they reach a certain point.
I think I saw something said she's trying to take more than 100%.
Crazy.
It's just the insanity has just gone off the rails on both sides.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It is absolutely nuts. And I'm watching Republicans right now. I'm watching Republicans cheer and say, Obama had low interest rates, Trump should have them. They will just parrot the line. Europe's got negative interest rates, Trump should be able to have negative interest rates. Of course, nobody knows what's going on in Europe. It's decimating their economy. And for all of you out there who think, well, I want negative interest rates because if I have a negative mortgage, that means I can take out $300,000 for a house and only pay back $280,000, over 30 years. That's a great thing. How many banks do you think?
Exactly. What bank is going to loan
none.
Money like
nobody.
Nobody's getting a mortgage at that point. I mean, nobody is getting a mortgage, so the housing market freezes, and whatever you think the value in your house is right now will fall through the floor.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just the level of insanity and ignorance on both sides is just, it reaches new heights every day.
Yeah, and every day I've talked about this, I'm looking at expat communities. I'm looking to retire somewhere else, and I got to tell you, I think I'm on to something. Every day things like this happen, I think, I got to tell you, I don't want to be around when people realize what stupid decisions you're making right now.
Yep. No, we can't. Now, we keep
hey, one other thing, real quick. I want to take you to. I want to call you. You misrepresented something a little earlier, and I mean it was pretty Joe Biden-esque.
Oh dear, hold me accountable. I'm the most transparent talk show radio host in the history of mankind.
You said that there were two actors in the studio. That is. I mean, I don't know where you got that. there was not. I heard that. There were not two actors.
I did not say classically trained. It's a new art form. You wouldn't understand, Robert, but I appreciate the call. Thanks so much, man. We got to take a quick break. All right, you're listening to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9. We'll be right back. One more second.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, in here with Ron Morris, president of Mississippi Libertarian Party. How much longer are you president?
I think February 1st is our convention, so I will be able to.
That's when your impeachment trial is?
That is, I'm getting impeached.
Yeah. And no quid pro quos at the top of the Libertarian. Yeah. You got nothing to give.
You get me. This is it.
You can't be corrupt when you have nothing to offer, no assets to offer, no nothing. I heard that Jacob Hornberger may run for president from the Libertarian side. You said that's not really made the rounds. Like this. I can't even remember where I heard that, but I've. If anybody wants to look up Jacob Hornberger, I'm gonna research him. I think from what I've read and seen of him, I think he's really good on a lot of stuff.
Right. There's like I said, I still think Justin Amash is going to run, but hasn't made that.
He's tainted. He can't do it. I mean, yeah. I think he has so politically kneecapped himself that those receptive conservatives out there will not vote for him.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, there's going to be. I don't think there's going to be a lot of conservatives vote for Libertarian anyway.
No, come on.
But, you know, even though we have a lot of conservative principles, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, somebody was asking me, matter of fact, a guy in the locker room at the health club yesterday, as a matter of fact, I got started talking about something. He brought something up. I don't talk a lot of politics and life unless I want to get somebody's take on something. And it's generally somebody I know. So I started talking politics with this guy in the locker room at the health club. And, of course, it came to blows. And when I kicked him in the face and called him a fried bologna brain and walked out, I think I won. No, of course, no. But we were talking about stuff, and he said, why isn't there a third party? He said, we need a third party so bad. And I said, well, you know, there are other parties.
Yeah.
But we're trapped in the fear where if you don't vote for your guy, you're giving the election to somebody else.
Yeah, the wasted the third party vote is what I always hear. Well, I would vote for them if they win. If everybody that told me that would actually just vote, third party, we'd win.
Right.
I mean, we'd win all day long.
Well, wasn't that the case in Kentucky? Was Kentucky where the Libertarian spoiler was?
And I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen.
Right.
But at what point do you draw a line in the sand? When you know the, you know, so.
No.
I mean,
you got
it's a trap. They've got us in a trap.
Well, and unless you really start looking at it and start voting for your principles, you're wasting your vote on somebody that you don't even agree with what they're doing. So that's to me is a waste of vote, not vote and your principles is a waste of vote.
The lesser of two evils is still evil.
An evil, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Trump phenomenon is different than that. I mean, most people that are going to go vote for Donald Trump are going to vote for Trump. And libertarians are not going to pull people away from him. I wish that Trump would, you know, in an ideal world, Trump would be some kind of a fighter for liberty or something like that. But again, we just talked about, well, we didn't talk about the story. We did the comments. But, you know, William Barr is announcing pre-crime.
Right.
We're handing billions of dollars to governments around the world. We're announcing who gets what land around the world.
Right.
We're seizing oil fields. I mean, we don't have a freedom candidate right now.
No, not a small
government guy.
No, there is no candidates that are small government on the two-party system at all.
I wish, I'd like to see Rand Paul be vice president. He's done a good job of ingratiating himself with Donald Trump. And I think he's probably been valuable in keeping Trump, keeping some of the neocons at bay with Iran and stuff like that. Rand Paul's probably been very positive
for him. I think that's been the biggest positive is he's kind of been in that court of Donald Trump and been able to kind of fend off too much neocon.
Yeah, but unfortunately, what Breitbart and other conservative sites get excited about is the idea of Nikki Haley actually becoming the vice president instead of Mike Pence for 2020. They want that neocon warmonger on the ticket.
Man, that's awful.
I don't like Pence, but she may actually be worse.
Yeah, I think she is.
Yeah, so I don't know. We definitely are in a trap. I don't know a way out, but I am, like when I hear this Jacob Hornberger, if libertarians put up some normal people that I think are really easy to defend voting for them, I would be excited to probably get involved with something that is that is just an actual vote for something would be fantastic. Trump's let me down. A lot of people who listen to the show think that he's delivered on everything and the rest of that stuff. But for somebody that wants small, limited government, I'm not getting what I was hoping for.
Yeah, so. and that's all I want is very limited government.
So. Yeah, $1.4 trillion in new spending each year over and above what they steal from American people is not impressing me.
Not at all.
Yeah, so. All right, Ron. Well, that's about all the time we've got today. We will do our next installment of. I'll be watching. I'll be culling through to find the juiciest parts of comment section theater for next time you're in.
I'll work on my acting.
Yeah, that's right. And you get some lessons. All right, that's all the time we got today. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.